Well, let's pray and get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just excited to have the opportunity, Lord, to spend time with you tonight. And of course, we can spend time with you alone, and that is so sweet, Lord, and is so necessary. Father, that's really the majority of eating, Lord, of being nourished by your word is alone. But these times are so significant, so sweet, when we can come together, Lord, look at your word together, and have you speak into the all the different situations that we are in. Each one of our lives is unique, Lord, but it's known by you. You care about us, Lord, and you want to do a work in our lives. I love that, Lord. Lord, if this thing was all about me just doing all the work, Lord, I couldn't. Lord, you know me. And so we just look forward to the work that you will do, Lord. And Lord, we want to respond, Lord, with diligence and with wisdom. And please speak to us as we go through the Proverbs. We're excited by it. We pray this in your name. Amen. So you guys know this. We've been going through the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, and we are in chapter 8. And, we just do the numbers again just to say if something really stands out to you and you want to make a comment or you want to, you know, say, hey, this really stood out to me because of this reason, feel free to, you know, or even a question, because, you know, a lot of times I read through the Word of God and say, what the heck does that mean? I just don't know. And so if you're there, you know, and I may not have an answer for you. But certainly it's a lot of fun when we're, you know, have the freedom to kind of interact in that way. And, so feel free to interrupt, ask questions and make comments, those kind of things. We are in chapter 8, and we're going to try to do chapter 8 and chapter 9. 5, 6, and 7, we went through those last week. We're going to see a little bit of the same stuff tonight. Was really a father talking to his son, saying, hey, be careful of the adulterous woman. And really saying, you be careful. the desire is in you. We looked at, three chapters in a row, very significant amount of space and time in the Word of God deals with sexual immorality. And the call for us to, you know, and this is all repetition, I think 3 weeks in a row, you know, the Bible, as I perceived it as a youth, you know, as a simpleton, as a fool, was it's just this list of don'ts. And the amazing thing that we saw, especially at the end of chapter 5, is, you know, hey, don't pursue the adulteress. Instead, pursue the blessing that I've given you. You know, it said drink water from your own cistern, and it's talking about your own wife and running water from your own well. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. And it said that, and always be enraptured with her love. And we looked at some of those really strong words, and it's just a good reminder that, you know, okay, God has, as a good father, he says, hey, this is something that will destroy you. You need to stay away from it. Instead, take this that I give to you. This is blessed, and this will be awesome. It will be fruitful. It will produce life, not destruction. And it'll grow us as men. Yeah. And he ponders all his past. We saw that same thought in Hebrews, where, you know, our hearts are naked and open to the Lord, and he knows what's going on in our lives. Let's start out and let's get going into chapter 8. 8 verse 1, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Kind of a cool start to, you know, we're going to see this wisdom, like the character, the that quality personified as basically a woman crying out. There's some definite parallels, especially in chapter 8 and 9, of wisdom kind of being, you could almost replace Jesus, you know, with or wisdom with Jesus, and it would still make really good sense. And, you know, in some ways, I think, you know, definitely a parallel. And there's some really cool things to look at if we look at it that way. In the beginning of 8, it says, "Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice?" I like that God, you know, it talks about in Revelation that he's standing at the door and knocking, saying, "Hey, let me in, I'll sup with you." And I kind of thought, you know, we're going to see it a little later where it speaks of us finding, you know, basically, well, verse, skip ahead a little bit, 8:17. "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." I was kind of thinking about that, like, well, find God. And the amazing thing, we start chapter 8, and he's like, you know, this is wisdom, stands at the highest place of the city, like right out in the open, and says, "Hey, come here." And it, going down to verse 5, it says, "Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart." And I'm definitely not talking down to anyone in this church, but this church is comprised of people that wisdom cried out to. You know, you have the foolish, you have the little things of this world, you have all different types of people. And I love that wisdom cries out, not just to the intellectual, not just to the, you know, the logical, not just to the, you know, university educated, but it cries out to simple and foolish people. And verse 6 says, "Listen, for I will speak of excellent things." And Jesus spoke a lot of excellent things that we look at and we pattern our lives after. "And from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are," I like this too, "they are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge." Is that Isaiah? We've looked at this verse before, I think, as we were going through Jeremiah, but Isaiah 30:21 speaks of, you know, it says basically, you'll hear a voice, a word behind you saying, "This is the way in which you should walk." And I just, so, that's been so much my experience with the wisdom that God gives. Hey, this is the way that you should walk. Not telling me, hey, you know, not taking away my choice, you know, I get to choose, I get to listen or not listen. But, again, repetition, it's sometimes annoying, but often very good for us. James 1:5. Actually, a couple verses here that we'll just read 2 through 8. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." It's from James 1. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Well, that sounds like a lot of our lives. And then we come into verse 5. "If any of you lacks wisdom." And hear this as if God is speaking. He's saying, if any of you lacks wisdom. We have a God that, like, hey, you lack wisdom? He's not saying, hey, you lack wisdom? All right, get out, you know? You should have wisdom by now. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And this is the kind of God we serve, who gives to all liberally, freely, and without reproach. He doesn't stick or turn up his nose at the fact that we're saying, God, we need your help. We need you to give us wisdom, because we don't know what to do. And it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. That's the attitude that God wants us to approach him with. Hey, you know, you have wisdom, God, and we need it. Would you give it to us? It says, for us to let us ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You know, Jesus Christ, God being our steadfast and sure anchor, the Hebrews says. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The point there is, if you're going to ask God, expect that he will give you wisdom freely and without reproach. Know that that is his desire. As we go through, this book, Proverbs, and we listen, we see simple ones, fools, listen, I want to give you wisdom. I can relate to that. I really can. Go ahead.
Psalms 119.
Yeah.
Is full of that same ask.
Yeah.
Ask.
Yeah.
I cry out to you. Ask. I give freely.
Yeah.
I'll just open up the 119. Just right here. Deal with your servant according to your mercies and teach me your statutes.
Yeah.
That's 119, 124. I just opened up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really, it weaves together in that tone.
Yeah. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Remember, knowledge is an understanding of facts, of truth. This is true, this is not. Understanding is the meaning behind those facts. What does the truth mean? Wisdom is the application of the meaning of the truth. Now, you could understand the meaning of what God's word said, but never apply it in your life. That kind of makes you a greater fool, in a sense. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The cool thing is, the wise man doesn't necessarily know everything. He doesn't. That gives me a lot of peace, because there's so much that I don't know. But wisdom seeks out the truth. It wants to know the truth. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. A reverence for God, an understanding of who he is, causes us to say, no, that is despicable. And even of things that we once formerly loved and pursued. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles. All the judges of the earth, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Don't read that verse 17 out of context, especially where we talked about the parallel of Jesus Christ in this passage. Jesus loved us first. He's the initiator. We're the responder. And I was just thinking through this, and it's like, well, we find Jesus, like, what is he hiding, How does that all work out? And I thought this kind of, silly or corny or whatever, but I'll play hide and seek with my son Judah. He's a 6-year-old. And I'll hide. He knows that we're playing a game where I want him to find me. So hear that context. He knows that I want him to find me. God's the same way. He wants us to find him. And then Judah will be looking around the house, say, I'm hiding in a closet. And what we kind of always do is, he'll walk out of the room and I'll make, bird calls or, animal sounds. And he'll hear it and, I know I'm close, And so he'll come back in and start looking and I'll make another noise. And eventually he'll open the door, hey, Dad! And it's like, why was I making those calls, I wanted you to find me. I want you to find me. But if he just, in the middle of that game, the middle of knowing he's supposed to be looking, just said, forget it, wandered outside. I mean, I could be calling out, hey, come find me. I could be knocking at the door, and he wouldn't show up. And I think the point in all of this, God loved us first. He wants us to find him. He wants us to have wisdom. Colossians, what is it, 2:9. It says that all understanding. Let's see here. 2:3. Speaking of in God the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Remember that passage, Colossians 2, is really what I got saved reading. And that is essential. Where is all wisdom and understanding found? Where's the base of it? Where's the root of it? In God. That's a very important concept in the world that we live in. Is 8:18, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I wish this said, if you're wise, you'll be rich. But that's not what it says. It says that riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. And we'll talk about this a little bit more at the end of 8. But what happens, like you build a brand new anything, what happens to it? It decays immediately. In some cases, I don't even build anymore because I know the decay happens so fast. You know, you want to build something out of wood outside, why bother? It's going to rot. Pressure treated, you know, you get Ipe, it's still at some point is going to rot. But these are enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold. Verse 20, I traverse the way of righteousness. Again, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. And on the way, in the way of Jesus is wisdom. It's all rooted in him anyway. In the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Now we're going to look at wisdom being there at the beginning of creation. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. Significant verse. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. So interesting, you know, it's like, oh, I think the Bible kind of just said that the earth was spherical, at least circular, right? And you can look at other concepts taught, discussed in the Bible and see that, yeah, indeed, like, you know, one of the most interesting is Luke 17, Jesus talking about his second come, you know, his return. And he says, you know, some people will be working in the day and some people will be sleeping. Like, well, that only happens on a world that revolves and is a sphere. And it's like Jesus knew what he was talking about. You know, and I look at this verse and I think, wow, that's amazing. I just for fun, Wikipedia'd it, you know, my favorite encyclopedia. Careful. And, because I expected to see, well, you know, the first mention of a spherical earth was, you know, Solomon, you know, or Job, actually. There's a couple of verses in Job that they're not quite as, you know, clear as this. And, yeah, and I expected to see Solomon, you know, 900 BC-ish. And instead it was, you know, some Greek guy, 600 BC. I'm thinking, how can they discount this? But that's what the world does with the Bible. Discounts it. You know, oh, well, that's not what it meant. They didn't know it. Drew a circle. God drew a circle on the face of the deep. That's amazing. When he established, go ahead. Yep. Yeah. Hung it. Just like the sun and the moon. Yeah. And he knew what he was doing when he made the world. He knew it was round. He knew it was a sphere. When he established the clouds above and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Listen to this verse. Then I was beside him, again, wisdom personified. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. That's the relationship I believe that God, the Father, and Jesus have. Rejoicing in one another. Jesus glorifying his Father. Rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. You know, kind of an amazing thing. We spoke of building and the effect of decay. That God would make a world that could rebel against him. And imagine, you know, for any of you that have built anything, you know, when we're, you know, nowadays we have synthetic materials that don't rot. So if we're going to side a house, we can use something that's, plastic-based or concrete-based or this or vinyl. Vinyl's final, you know. You can do all of these things to prevent decay. And if you're a master builder, you're always thinking of how can I prevent decay from happening. But when God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, present at creation, built this world, they didn't build it and think, well, it's, you know, man with, you know, is just always going to be, you know, he's never going to rebel. They knew the future and they knew what was going to happen. And they built it anyway. And it wasn't like we got to, you know, throw this together. It's going to rot, but that's just the way it is. Look, it says that Jesus, I believe, really, he rejoiced in his inhabited world, and his delight was with the sons of men. Knowing that we would need grace, knowing that he would have to come and lay down his life, they built this world and made and created man and women anyway. That's an amazing thing to me. They did it anyway. And his delight, we saw that in Psalm 18. We read that on Sunday. You know, I've said this, I think, even on a Wednesday night before. You brought up Joe Foch. One thing that he said, I remember listening to it a month or two ago. He's like, you know, and I've said this before, you guys have heard this, but he goes, you know, I know that the Bible teaches that God loves me, but what amazes me is that God likes me too. And I was like, wow, I can relate to that because I get it. Like, it's like he has to love me. The Bible says it, but he doesn't have to like me. He's really annoyed and frustrated and just wants to, like, you know, I do love you, but I wish I, you know. No, he delights in what he created. He delights most in objects of his grace and his mercy that love him and respond to him with praise and not for anything in return, but just, you're so good, God. Incredibly good to us. You delight in us. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Listen to this, you know, this blessing that God's word speaks to us. This is, blessed is the man. Oh, how happy is the man who listens to me. Who watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Blessed is the man who listens to God, watches daily for God, and waits for God. Those things are just should be part of every one of our lives, listening, watching, and waiting. For whoever finds me finds, what, just money? Fame, power, no, life. Whoever finds me finds life. What that means is that there are people that do not have life, but are walking around this world thinking, oh, I'm alive. They do not have life. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. What a strong, strong word for those who would reject Jesus Christ. Yeah. It doesn't seem like that, you know, when I was in the world, like, yeah, I love death. I didn't go around saying that. That's what the Word of God says. It's one of those things continually that Okay, I had a perspective. That perspective was wrong. I know it's wrong because I'm looking at the truth right now. We'll zip through chapter 9. Now, wisdom has built her house. Again, we see it wisdom personified as a woman. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars, just like a solid foundation. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine, and she has also furnished her table. So what wisdom has done here is made a feast. Just made this beautiful, scrumptious, feast. And we'll see what she does with that. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she said to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I've mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. You know, gospel is called the gospel because it's good news. And we see this time and time again with Jesus. It's like he is calling simple and foolish people to a feast. He's like, would you just come and be a part of my kingdom? I'll make you kings and priests. You'll become heirs. You'll be my sons. Not even just servants. You'll be my sons. You'll know what I'm doing. This passage in particular reminded me of Isaiah 55. Which says kind of the same thing. Oh, I always laugh when I read this. Isaiah 55:1. It says, ho, which is like, hey-o. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. This is God speaking. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You want something free? You want life? You want a feast? Come on. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Why are you chasing all of these other things that will never fill you like I will? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. That's an everlasting promise from God. That's that enduring riches that we read about tonight, chapter 8. Skip down to 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Remember, he's at the highest hill. He's calling out. Seek him while he may be found. He wants to be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Just turn. Turn. Change your mind. He'll change your heart. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon or forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In context, I wouldn't take this too far, but in context, he just said, I will abundantly pardon. And he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As I think a lot of times we just think, you could never abundantly pardon me. That'd be impossible. Really? Yeah, right. No, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I know what I'm doing. I'm God. And if I want to forgive you, if I want to pour out my mercy upon you, I can and I will. Come back to me. Forsake your way. Turn to me, and I'll have mercy on you. What a beautiful, beautiful section of scripture right there, Isaiah 55. Whoever is simple, back Proverbs 9:4, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Okay, he who corrects a scoffer, kind of a different thought here, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Some people don't want to be corrected. and sometimes it's hard to know, but you can often see in the response of correction, hey, is that guy wise or is he a fool? You know, is he a scoffer? If he hates being corrected, if he hates you for correcting him, there's sometimes, you know, very natural, especially for, I don't know what it's like for ladies, but for men, just to receive any kind of correction and just immediately you don't like it. And just, I'll be honest with you, that is always a signal to me. It's not like, I wish it was like, oh, I don't like it. Oh, I'm in the flesh. I need to go to God. Like, but it's always like it's a flag now, at least, you know. And sometimes it takes me time to say, God, this correction caused a rise in me. What's up with that? I think I'm struggling. Could you help me? And he does. He's faithful to do that. It's very natural. But what the Lord shows me is, hey, love that man for correcting you. That you can be wise. Even if it hurt a little bit at the start, don't stay there. You know, love what God is trying to do through another brother, sister, whoever in your life. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wise. He'll be even wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Again, this book is full of promises and principles. And sometimes there's a fine line between the two. Right there we saw, you know, if you apply it to this world, for by my days you will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Every Christian lives longer than every non-Christian. No, we don't see that in the Word of God. Eternally, there will be life for every believer. You know, so this is, but there's also a truth to the principle there. If you serve a cruel master in this world, if you do ridiculously foolish things that are destructive, your lifespan can be affected. You know, just something to keep in mind. We've mentioned that before as we read through this book. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. God knows how to deal with all kinds of different people. And he knows what's in the heart of a man. He knows which men are wise. He knows which ones are scoffers. And, you know, the we're accountable for what we do. And you know, we will be judged by God for our lives. You know, independent from others. Just a reminder for me, don't be always comparing yourself to other people. 13 through 18, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. So here we saw in the beginning of chapter 9, wisdom personified as a woman is, you know, at the top of the city, of the highest place of the city, crying out, hey, if you're simple, turn in here. Well, here we're going to see the way of folly, a foolish woman doing the same thing. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. She says the same thing. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there and that the guests are in the depths of hell. Another proverb says, you know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You know, one thing I'd like to point out really quickly is, as we finish up, is that she says, hey, if you're simple, turn in here. There's water and bread here. What was there, you know, going back to the beginning of chapter 9, wisdom slaughtered meat, mixed wine, and furnished her table. And you can see, you know, like, you know, the allure of sin is that it will be better. And indeed, sometimes in the moment, it seems better, it feels better, it is more desirable. But it's not long term, not eternally. It's just not. How could anything that's fleshly, that's wrong, that's wicked, that's immoral compete with God's blessing? It just does not compete. It doesn't even come close. I just, that really stood out to me. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. It's alluring because of the sin, that the enticement of the lust of the, you know, that it's discreet, that it's hidden, that it's, you know, secretive. Yeah. Yeah. But anything that really stood out to you guys?
Keep looking back at 8:18.
Yeah.
Which is an honor with me. Enduring riches and righteousness.
Yeah. Well, these, as we transition into chapter 10, is really the start of a bunch of, you could say, like one-offs. You know, basically, here's a thought, here's a thought, here's a thought, usually a line or two. There's some amazing little nuggets in here. But we should go get ice cream, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity just to sit in the middle of the week and be blessed by your word. Lord, certainly, Lord, as we just take a minute and we look at, I can look at my life and what I know, and Lord, where you brought me from, and Lord, certainly, Lord, you've furnished a table. Lord, you've mixed wine and you've, Lord, provided just a feast, Lord. Not that it's all easy, not that it's all without trial, but Lord, there's joy and there's you in the midst of all that. Lord, you're sufficient. Lord, you're dependable. Lord, you're awesome. And I never had that before. Lord, I did not have that life when I was in the world doing my own thing. And so we thank you that you pursue us, Lord, that you want to be found. And that you call out to us, Lord, and thanks for the grace that you've poured out on our lives. And we just I ask that you bless these guys this week and all the things that are coming up in each of their lives, and that you give them strength, Lord, and Lord, for all of us, that you wouldn't lead us into temptation, Lord, and you'd protect our lives. We pray this in your precious name, Amen. Thanks, guys. Dude, we're going on a trip together. What are we going to talk about for 10 hours? You can snooze. I'll put on the radio. Yeah, that's what my wife does. You get in the car. When you drive.
Well, you know, when I'm
please don't.
I
have a hard time too, yeah.
I can't sleep while we're moving.
I think the last time I fell asleep driving, or not driving, yeah. Riding as a passenger, I had just taught Jess how to drive stick. And we were on the interstate. And so I was thinking, like, you don't really have to shift. Like, I can help you basically get up to fifth gear, and you can stay right there. Except I forgot about the toll booth. So we're like cruising along, and like, you know, she saw the sign, 2 miles, 1 mile, like, you know, a couple hundred yards from the toll booth, going like 75. She's like, honey, well, oh no. She says, yeah, no, it's fine. She goes, what do I do? She's like, put in neutral. It's like, just push on the brake. It doesn't even matter. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that was, yeah. That was not the best way to wake up. Hey, thank you.
Wet. no sunlight, and they just short out. What in the world?
Look at that.
So where is this thing we're going to? Like Maryland. Maryland.
Like the Chesapeake Bay. It's beautiful. Places right on the water.
Yeah.
If I remember right, they have like games, like shuffleboard, like weird old people games that are actually kind of fun to play. But there's a ton of guys there. It's really awesome.
Is Canada kind of like a little bit of a conference in Oregon? It's very different. We just play shuffleboard and stay at the house. No, it's not like that there. But, it's awesome. Worship is awesome. We got a guy at Calvary Philly that does it.